السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا، مرحبا بكم. Welcome everyone. Welcome to Behind the Scenes with Mufti Abdul Rahman and myself. Inshallah, Mufti Abdul Rahman will be joining us shortly. I want to apologize for the little delay. I hope everyone is doing well. I see people already waiting. But the Mu'az Sharif, Sabreen. So Ahlan wa sahlan. Alhamdulillah, everything is well. I hope everyone who is tuning in, watching us live, or who's going to watch this after, is doing well. I see Sheikh Mateen from Canada watching, who's joining us. Gets me a little nervous when shuyukh tune in. You know, then you gotta sharpen your literature, your information. You gotta cite everything. But I like it. I like what the mashayikh tune in. They can always give us feedback, correct us when we're wrong, and make dua for us. Alhamdulillah. Welcome everyone. It is Wednesday, and it feels like a short week because we had Monday off here in the States, I think in Canada also. But it is back to school for our kids. For those parents whose children are online, I want you to let us know what's going on with your children. How are you coping with them online if they're on the hybrid program where they're half online, half on site in the institutions they're going to? Let us know. And what are the challenges in education while you are teaching them in this pandemic? Oh, ahlan wa sahlan, Mufti Sahab. Don't do that.
Assalamu alaikum. Get back to your side, Wajan.
Oh, let me go back to my side. Mufti Sahab, how are you?
I'm doing good, alhamdulillah.
Good to see you, Mufti Sahab. Welcome. Everyone's here to listen to you, Mufti Sahab. And I want to thank you for joining us. I want to welcome Mufti Abdul Rahman, my younger brother, for joining us tonight. We do behind the scenes, and I have heard a lot of people call me, and people from all across the States have been talking to me behind the scenes. I don't think this is the first time it's been done. I'm sure people have done this before in literature and writing it down and writing books and tafsir on Quran. It's different when you talk about it online, and it's different when you hear it from Mufti Abdul Rahman's mouth, definitely. So what's going on, Mufti Abdul Rahman? How's life?
Are you trying to get some money from me or what? Well, why are you flattering me so much?
Flattering you. I state the truth.
All right, Jazakallah khair. I appreciate that. Assalamu alaikum to everybody who's online. We have other scholars. I recognize some names. We have Maulana Ibrahim Raqib as well from Louisiana. Assalamu alaikum. I'm doing good, Bajan. Honestly, we started this a few months ago. It's a commitment. It's not easy doing it. But we're at the same level now, yeah. It's not easy doing it every week. It becomes challenging, but alhamdulillah, it is a commitment, and we have the love from the people. So hopefully we continue doing it and keep producing quality content and inspire and motivate ourselves first and others as well while we're doing that, inshallah. So yeah, I mean, the Quran is beautiful, and every single time I sit down to read it in this way, I'll be honest with you, I've never in my life researched Quran and read it with this lens of trying to figure out, you know, what was happening at that time behind the scenes, which surahs were revealed first, which verses were revealed first, what connection do they have? You know, I came across some beautiful things when I was preparing for today's session, like, wow, you know, this all correlates together, and it happens with us in our life as well. So I find that it connects really well with us, knowing that the slow progression of the verses of Allah coming down, the commands of Allah, the hikam of Allah. So, I mean, it's beautiful. I appreciate that this audience also appreciates what we're doing, and hopefully we can inspire some and definitely inspire ourselves.
Mufti Sahib, the Quran is definitely the most peaceful thing. And if people were to understand the Quran, they would appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His kalam, His words. Mufti Sahib, I'm going to give you a heads up, okay? If I go dark, that means my cats drop my light here that I'm using, and they're wild. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, then don't worry about it.
If I go dark, just take over. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go ahead with this. What's going on? What's next? And what surah are we covering today?
Bajan, today is Surah Al-A'la, right? This is a beautiful surah. One of the first surahs that were revealed in the early Mecca days to the Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
And it has, it definitely is one of the most favorite surahs of the Prophet Sallam, right? He used to recite this surah a lot. Why would he recite the surah a lot?
Where did he recite it? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
He used to recite Surah Al-A'la and Jum'ahs and Eid all the time. So the days of his celebration, he used to recite, which is Jum'ah and Eid. You would see that he would recite it frequently, right? One of the first surahs that the people of Medina learned from Mus'ab ibn Umair when he came from Mecca to Medina was Surah Al-A'la. The last surah the Sahaba heard the Prophet reciting in Salah was Surah Al-A'la. So, you know, in days and moments of happiness and joy, he would recite the surah. He would recite in Jum'ah and Eid. The last surah the Sahaba heard from him was Surah Al-A'la. I mean, so that's why this surah is just, it has a different significance when we talk about it in Sharia, right? The Prophet he said أنه عليه السلام سماها أفضل المسبحات. There's a whole category of surahs known as المسبحات. We'll get into that in detail right now. But he used to recite this. So this is he classified this as the best of all the musabbihat. And Abdullah bin Harith, he said that آخر صلاة صلاها رسول صلى الله المغرب, the last salat the Prophet led was مغرب صلاة. فقرأ في الركعة الأولى بسبح اسم ربك الأعلى وفي الثانية بقول يا أيها الكافرون. And the first rak'at he recited سبح اسم ربك الأعلى في سورة مغرب in مغرب. And the second rak'at he recited قول يا الكافرون. And this was the last time the Sahaba heard his beautiful voice, and in which he led salah. So the other thing about the surah is when this surah was revealed, you know, in our sujood we say Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. So when this was revealed, the Prophet said ij'aluha fi sujudikum, recite this in your sajdas, right? And then when fasabbih bismi rabbika al-'azim was revealed, which is in surah waqi'a, the Prophet said ij'aluha fi ruku'ikum, place this portion of it of Surah Waqi'a and Ruku'. So now we have some context behind what we're reciting. We're reciting Subhan Rabbi al-A'la because of Sabbih Hisma Rabbi al-A'la, right?
So someone is asking, what is Musabbihat?
We're going to get into that.
We're going to get into that right now. But this is all. Isn't this surah one of the chapters that are supposed to be recited in Witr also, in the night prayer, when we are one of our last prayers at night is Witr, you know, three raka'at Witr. So we write Surah A'la, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la in the first raka'ah, and then Surah Ghashiya, Hala Ataka Hadith Al-Ghashiya in the second raka'ah, and then Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun in the third raka'ah. This was also one of the practices of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like you said, Kan Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Yuhibbu Hadith Surah. He loved this surah. He loved it. And we're talking about one of those surahs that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved. You notice, Mufti Saab, and everyone that's watching, there are surahs that start in the Quran, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. You hear this concept all around the Quran, how surahs start off with this concept of tasbih, right, Mufti Saab?
So yeah, it's an interesting thing with tasbih, right? So you have the musabbihat are surahs that begin with these, a word that's formulated from one of these three letters, and it can be in different types of words, seen, ba, and ha, which means sabaha, which means to declare the perfection of Allah, to declare His greatness in perfection. The right word is perfection, tanzihullah. The literal meaning of it is to swim. We will get into what it really means and why it means that, but then you have some surahs that starts with sabbaha lillahi in the maldi, in the past tense. Like you have Surah Hadid, Surah Hashar, Surah Saf. They start with sabbaha lillahi, sabbaha lillahi, sabbaha lillahi. That every single thing in the earth, in the skies, they glorify Allah, they declare His perfection. Then you have some surahs that start in the present and future tense. So in Arabic, mudari' comes for both.
It's more like Allah is glorifying Himself too.
Yeah, of course. But but you know, it's like the way Allah formulated these surahs, how it starts, you have some with sabbaha, then you have some with yusabbihu, like Jum'ah, Surah Jum'ah and Surah Taghabun. Next time you hear this, you know this is musabbihat. These are those surahs that start with the declaration of the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have a surah that starts in the infinitive form, like a noun, because a noun is timeless, like Subhan alladhi asra bi abdihi.
That's powerful.
Isra. Like, you know, this it's infinitive. Like there's no, it's a noun is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a surah. So there's four different types. You have past tense, madi, mudari, then you have ism, then you have amr, command, and then you have that in this surah, surah A'la. Sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. Allah is saying, declare the perfection of your Lord. And isn't that very similar to the first surahs that were revealed? You have iqra, recite. Then you have qumil layla, stand up. Watabattal ilayhi tabtila. You know, so have some solitude. And then Allah is saying, sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. They're all at the beginning, Allah's commanding us different things. And this surah starts with a command to declare the perfection of Allah. So that's what it actually means. And these are the surahs that come with tasbih.
Subhanallah. And can you imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other surahs like Surah Jum'ah and other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just letting us know that everything in the heaven and the earth is glorifying Him.
Yep.
You know, it's like, so you come to, Surah Jum'ah is supposed to be recited on Thursday nights. But when you come to these surahs, and you recite them like, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Look at the words that are used. The most, the king, the pure, the powerful, the most wise. All that's happening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in many places, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Every single thing is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. But we cannot comprehend their praise and the glorifying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should I go ahead recite some of the surah?
No. So the thing is, what's going on behind the scene over here, right?
Okay. When do you want me to recite my beautiful voice?
Why don't you do it right now?
You sure?
Yeah, do it now.
You have the recorder on? Are you recording this? You can sell it. You can sell it. Make money off of it.
Let's go, Bajad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى. صدق الله العظيم.
جزاك الله خير بجان. Thank you so much.
Did you cry? Were you getting emotional in my recitation? Just messing with the Quran is supposed to get you, you know, تقشعر من جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلود وقلوب إلى ذكر الله. Does that happen to you? وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Does that happen to you? When you hear the recitation and your heart and your body gets softer and your tears.
I wish it happened more, but some, you know, with some recitation, some verses, it does happen for sure.
Does it happen when I read?
Why are you putting me on the spot for, Bajan?
I just want to see if you like my voice and if I touch you.
You touch me in a different way, Bajan. It's good.
Bismillah.
So the background over here, Bajan, is interesting, right? Like, here's what's why is it so relevant right now? Like, what's that to do to declare the perfection of Allah? And right. This is something that I thought of, and it's beautiful because, you know, I was reading tafsirs of Allama Razi and Alusi and Qurtubi, and I was trying to figure out, like, you know, Allah starts the Quran revelation by saying Iqra. So these are stages of perfecting your iman, getting closer to Allah. He starts with Iqra, meaning the first stage is you have to know Him. To know Him is to love Him. That's the first stage.
فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
You have to learn, you have to study about. So you'll always, in the story of a convert or revert, you always find that stage of, I started researching about Islam.
Oh yeah.
I started researching about Allah. That's the initial stage, you know. Even when we're far from Deen, when we can't get close to Allah, when there's something holding us back, it's a very powerful tool to just open up a seerah book and start reading it. It's a very powerful tool to open up tafsir of Quran or, you know, watch behind the scenes right here and start learning about Allah, because learning then leads you on the path towards perfection of iman. That's, I mean, we're not, our iman will never, you know, there's perfection is what we're trying to get, but of course our iman will always increase and decrease. But the first step, the first stage is iqra, learn. And then what happens after that, once we learn about Allah, we learn about His greatness, we learn about His forgiveness, we learn about His majesty, then what happens? Then we start to glorify His greatness, right? وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَرَبَّكَ, Allah says in the next few surahs that were revealed, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرُ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Now you're now that's the next level of iman. Oh, I learned about Islam. It's beautiful, man.
Beautiful.
You hear these revert stories. I started reading, God, mashallah, God's so beautiful. The Prophet Muhammad's so beautiful. Like people who think otherwise just don't know better. You know, we always say that. Like, had you learned about the Prophet, had you studied his life, had you studied about Allah, you would not have, you would not think like
that. What is Allah want to say to people who hurt Islam or cause damage to Muslims? La ya'lamun.
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't know. I mean, if they knew what this beautiful religion was, they would change their mindset.
Exactly. So you have that, right? So you have learn, and then you have, once you learn about Allah, you're just blown away by His greatness. Like, I want to use that word because I know you don't like using that word, but
I don't like the word blow. It's blow up and those are extremist words.
Okay. You're taken away. You're taken back by His greatness, right? Yeah. What happens after that? Now, you know, to maintain that level, to maintain that, وَتَبَتَّلِ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. In Surah Muzammil, Allah says, now we need solitude. We need a continuous reminder. Continuous, you know, this level of solitude, stage of solitude, which now further fortifies our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, we learned about Him. We start speaking about Him.
And then we started talking about Him in public.
Start talking about Him in public. Now you have to do that in private, right? You have to couple all these together. You know what happens when you start doing these three things, Bhajan? This is what happens. And this is something relevant what happened to me yesterday, so I'm going to just mention it. The next step that happens is then you start facing challenges. So initially you start studying, nobody knows. But what happens when you learn something good, you want to mention it. Like, you want to tell your mother or your father, or you want to tell people, like, you know, iman is asluha thabit wa far'uha fis sama. You can't hide it. It's firm and the roots are firm, but people start seeing the beauty of iman. And so now they start seeing a change in you. And then they start seeing you distancing yourself from those environments. So now people start, you know, now you start getting challenged. You start hearing things, slurs. You start getting emotionally you get abused, physically sometimes you get abused. And this is what the Sahaba were going through at the time in Mecca at this time. They're physically being abused, emotionally being abused. We read the last few surahs, you know, all these names are being thrown at the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, right? So now this abuse is coming. And you're thinking now that I thought I was doing the right thing, right? I started learning about Allah, and then I started getting closer to Him. I started having some solitude, but now things are getting even more difficult. I'm getting challenged even more in a manner that I've never been challenged before, right? So you start, sometimes what happens, you start developing these doubts. You start developing these thoughts that are not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why this comes, right? Is in at that point, to understand that Allah's plan is perfect.
Subhanallah.
Everything Allah does for you has perfection written all over it. You don't understand it right now. This message was being passed. I'm going to ask you right now to elaborate on that, you know, in Sirah. What was literally, at that time, when this surah was revealed, think about the mentality of Ammar, who saw his mother and father martyred in front of his eyes. Think about Khubayb, who was being dragged in the streets. Think about Bilal, who's being put, stones were put on his back. Think about all these Sahaba and these companions who are going through all these challenges. And, you know, Allah then tells them right away, look, that's happening. But remember, even though in the middle of this, you know, this commotion and this all this ruckus that's happening, you think when things are all over the place that there's no organizer. Like, who's, if everything's all over the place, all the books are all over the place, like, you look right back and say, yo, who organized this? Who's putting this together?
Yep.
It may look in hindsight that there's nothing organized, but Allah's saying, hey, relax. Allah's plan is perfect. You can't see it, but it's happening behind the scenes. So right away, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْعَلَىٰ. Continuously declare the perfection of Allah. But yesterday, and this is unbelievable, like, you know, I want to say this for sure. Yesterday, I was giving a small talk in our school. And after the talk, there's these new students who came. This 12-year-old kid, his name is Faizan. He comes up to me, and he's crying, but like literally crying. Wallahi, he made me cry. I mean, as I'm saying this now, like I feel like I don't think I can finish the story. You know, he comes up to me and says,
don't get me emotional, man.
No, I mean, it's just, it's, you know, a young small kid, he just came to our school. It's a boarding school from Seattle. And I gave a small talk. He comes to me afterwards. He's like, Mufti Saab, and he just starts crying. His big tears in his eyes. He can't stop crying. And he just says, Mufti Saab, please make dua for my brother, my twin brother. And I said, what's going on with your twin brother? He's like, he was born with a hole in his heart, right? He's like, I miss him so much, right? And he's studying here. Like, you know what it is? Like, I was thinking, this surah is for that child's parents, man. The real superstars, Bhajan, are parents who take care of children who have special needs, man. They're superstars. You and I are nothing. Like, parenting is challenging, definitely. But think about that parent who, you know, and then he said, my mother's sister, so she also had this hole in her heart and she passed away when she was 9 years old. So these parents send this kid here to become half of an alim, knowing that their other son has this sickness. Imagine how much, you know, trust they had to have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, how much love they had for deen that they still sent their child for this purpose, right? And this kid is just crying. I mean, it means you have a good relationship. I was just thinking about his relationship with his brother, and he said, please make dua for my brother. Please make dua for me. He's a 12-year-old kid. This other kid, his name
May Allah reward the family and provide a cure and life for the brother that's sick, inshallah, and give strength to the younger brother that's studying here.
I mean, his other kid named Muayyad, right? And I'm talking about these parents who go through these problems. You know, he's from Gaza. And subhanAllah, he says that, I said, how'd you get out of Gaza? And he said that, we escaped because my brother had cancer. His brother's 11 years old, you know? And he's crying when he's telling me this. Like, we have this one person who follows us on our social media platforms and watches us a lot. She's a mother of one child. Now her child has special needs, and she brought her to Munir Academy, and she sits with her child all day. Imagine that, in class, because her child has special needs, right? That parent, Allah is telling that person, listen, it may not seem perfect, but continuously declare the perfection of Allah. That will make your pain easy. Bajan, if you look in the Quran, and Bajan, before we go in the Quran talking about this, can you tell us a little bit about that, what was going on behind the scenes? Remember that story you love to say about the Prophet sitting in the shade of the Kaaba and someone comes and speaks to him? Can you please say that story? I love that story.
You know, you mentioned it. This whole time in Makkah, the surahs that were revealed in Makkah are so necessary for us to understand.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to, I mean, the laws and the commandments that come in Medina are also very important. That's our religion. Zakah, you know, the laws of fasting, the laws of marriage and divorce, all those important verses. But early part of Makkah was just solidifying, fortifying the Muslims. And if that alam tara kayfa daraballahu mathalan kalimatan tayyiba ka shajaratin tayyiba asluha thabit wa far'uha fis sama, like you said, and Mufti Asim did the parable series of the Quran. Once these sahaba were made, these individuals a lot of us hear the stories like Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq. Not everyone was As-Siddiq right away. Prophet ﷺ said, مَا دَعُوتُ أَحَدًا إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا لَهُ كَبْوَةٌ وَتَرَدُّدٌ وَنَظْرٌ. Everyone that I invited towards Islam had objections.
Absolutely.
They had second thoughts. They had to weigh their options. What you know, there are some people who thought about it for 20 years almost. Some of them thought about it for 60. Abbas, radiallahu, his uncle, had to deal with this back and forth for years. He defended the Prophet, loved the Prophet, and he served the Prophet, even though he was not in Medina with the Prophet as a Muslim. But he told the Prophet, how did the Prophet find out about Uhud? Abbas sent a letter. He said, hey, go tell him the Meccans are coming to, they want to ambush you. So Abbas was really concerned about the Prophet. But there was a constant challenge. So you have Muslims who are daily going through persecution. Some of what we see today in the world today, Mufti Saab. Today we might not do it as individual, but just think about every country as a Sahabi. Look at Yemen as Sumayya. Look at Kashmir as Khabbab. You know, look at Burma, you know, as Syria. Like, you know, Burma and Syria as Bilal. You know, Burma and Syria as Bilal. Or Suhaib al-Rumi and these Sahaba that came from outside, like they were strangers in Mecca. I talked about this before. I did lectures of Sahaba who came into Medina, and the Prophet said, go back. Don't stay here because it's not safe for you here. Go back. You guys can't tolerate it here. It's too much happening. Amongst them was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari.
Who came to Mecca,
and the Prophet said, if you accept Islam and you stay here, you're not gonna survive. They're going to kill you. And they're like, no, we want to stay with you. The Prophet said, go back. And then he told some people like Dhimad, Abu Dhal Ghifari, you know, these Sahaba, he said, you know, Tawfil bin Amr al-Dawsi, you accept Islam, go back to your communities, you do the work there, and you hear about me in Medina, then wherever I go, you hear about me. Join me when you hear victory of the Muslims. My point is, Khabbab radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. When he was sitting in the Kaaba, right?
Yeah, he was kind of, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fi dhill al-Kaaba, he was reclining in the shade of the Kaaba. And he says, ala tastansur lana, ala tad'u lana. And he's you know, sometimes like someone asks for help, but they haven't really gone through much. You're like, come on, man, you haven't even struggled yet.
You haven't seen anything.
You haven't seen anything yet. Some of us Muslims are like, ya Allah, help me, help me. And we're like, we're sleeping on like beautiful couches and sofas. And, you know, our prayer to Allah is beautiful. Allah loves it when we ask, but that doesn't have the sound of desperation, you know, and the voice and the cry of desperation. Some people are very soft. Even them sitting miles away from people who are suffering, they melt and they cry sincerely. May Allah reward them for their prayers. Khabbab, he says, he's a survivor of multiple attempts of, you know, of killing. They attempted to kill him so many times. You know, like, and he comes to the Prophet and said, please, Ya Rasul, make dua, ask Allah for help. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you not know the people came before you? They فَيُحْفَرُ لَهُمْ, they opened the ground and they put him into the dirt. They dug him into a ditch.
They dug ditches and they threw
فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالْمِنْشَارِ, and then they would grab a saw. فَيَشُقُّ, and then they would put the saw on their head. فَيَجْعَلُ عَلَى رَأْسِ, they would put the saw on their head. And then they would split their bodies in half. لَا يَصُدُّ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِمْ أو كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ, that this type of persecution would not alter them or persuade them away from Islam. You know, there's an interesting thing on this, Mufti. So when I read this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, you know, Khabbab is saying, don't you know what's going on, Ya Rasulullah? We're going through all of this. You know, the Prophet ﷺ was reclining. He never got up. And he's like, really? You guys are suffering? The Prophet stayed in the same position.
The whole time.
And he was calm and collected, because he knew Allah had a plan that was better than his, you know? And he was so, like, you know, sometimes when someone, you know, brings like some really tragic news to you and they want to pray, like, well, let me get up, and you're like, let me sit up and at least make this person feel like I'm going to do something for them. The Prophet just sat back because he was so comfortable with Allah's decision. He knew what Allah was going to do. And he wanted the Sahaba to have that same belief. And the Prophet ﷺ said, a time will come where a woman from Hira, somewhere in Iraq, right? Or Yemen, Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, would come and walk all the way through the desert of Arabia, come to Mecca. لَا يَخَافَنَّ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, they will not fear any form of persecution, ظلم, injustice upon them. They will only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, there will be so much peace. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Yemen, بَيْنَ الْيَمَنِ وَالْحِيرَةِ, some places the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith are at that time were known to be the most dangerous, violent places in the world. The words that some cities that he used were to known to be the most violent places in the world. And the Prophet said, there's going to be so much peace. I'm from Flint. I don't know if you know this, but Flint is one of the most dangerous cities. The city of Flint, the inner city. I'm not from the inner city. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm not like that, you know? You know, but I'm from outside. I'm not like that, you know what I'm saying? I used to be like that.
Okay, you got to stop.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, in the inner city, you know, you go there and you there people are you know, they're suffering, education, all that. May Allah help them. May Allah make us a means of helping them. Imagine someone saying to me in Flint and someone telling someone else, like, you know, time's going to come that Flint's going to be the most peaceful city in the world. It's like, what?
Hard to believe.
It is believable if Islam comes into the people. The only solution is Islam.
Absolutely.
Now, it's not me. A lot of people say this. You know, we believe this. Islam came and there was a time where the Sahaba were doing tawaf around the Kaaba and they saw a lady alone doing tawaf and he asked, where are you from? He says, I'm from here. He says, SubhanAllah, the Prophet said the truth. And the Prophet said, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعَجِلُونَ. But we're very hasty. Very hasty. Like, everything is going to come at its position. That doesn't mean we don't try. That doesn't mean we don't pray. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be eager, enthusiastic about success. We should be. But we also need to know that God has the best plan. And I think سَبَّحْ حَلِلَّهِ or سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى does that really well.
Basically, Jazakallah khair for putting that in a nutshell. Exactly. Like this was what was going on in Mecca, and the Prophet is then he's commanded by Allah to, you know, to develop this quality, right? And which is what there's an interesting thing about sabaha, and I was gonna say this earlier. It means sabaha comes from the meaning of swimming, right? And what's interesting about the word swimming is not the right translation. I would classify it more as floating.
Floating.
Because you know Allah says inna laka fil nahari sabhan tawila as well, right? And the reason why I classify it as more as like floating is because like you stay the water, like you retain your level. And whatever is being thrown at you doesn't pull you down. You know, no persecution, no emotional abuse, nothing that
you stay above it. You stay above it.
You keep swimming, you keep moving, you keep floating. Nothing pulls you down. And that's what sabbaha means, that whatever comes at you, you keep declaring the perfection of your Lord and it continues to pull you forward and you stay above the water, above the sea level, right? If you look at the verses in the Quran, Bajan, you see whenever Allah talks about, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. We know that what you, your chest is getting very constricted and restricted, meaning you're getting hurt from the things that you're hearing. Look, Ya Rasulullah, I have a solution for you. Declare the perfection of your Lord. فَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Another verse. Allah says, be patient on the abuse that you're hearing. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Declare the perfection of your Lord. Allah says another place, فَصْبِرْ. Be patient. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. The promise of Allah is true. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Seek forgiveness for your sins, because it may, you know, for us, it may be the effect of our sins. Then he says, سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Declare the perfection of your Lord. Isn't that interesting?
Amazing.
Stay steadfast. Be persistent. Because this is the command of your Lord. If something happens in your family, a tragedy, a loss of a loved one, sickness, loss of wealth, this is the plan of Allah. Be patient with it. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. I'm seeing you. You're right in front of us. I can see everything.
You know this. You know this. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا is very powerful.
Yeah.
You know. Nuh, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said to Nuh Alayhi Salam, "وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا." Like, yeah. I want you to make this ship in this desert. And Nuh Alayhi Salam has never gone to like, you know, engineering school or you know design, designing school of how to make this massive ship that's going to float around the world for more than a year. You know, some people said many years. But how is it going to be done? It's going to be done right in front of God's vision, meaning I'm supervising this project. I am the manager. I am the one that's going to give you the guidance for this. Same thing, وَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْوِنِنَا. One of the things that happens, Mufti Saab, is that when we are going through difficulty, we don't know, or we think that people do not know what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You might be going through something, your wife might not even know about it. I might go through something, you may never know about it. So sometimes we like, people don't know what I'm going through, so it's no one can help you. I mean, even if they know about it, but they don't know the magnitude of the challenges that you're going through, the feelings, the other, like sometimes, a lot of times, people talk to you about their challenges, but that's just a fraction of it. There's so much more happening.
Yeah.
If someone, for example, their child is stuck at home, or not stuck, but like the school is closed down because of COVID, that's not the only challenge in their life.
Yeah,
I'm sure they have a mother they're taking care of. I'm sure they have they have work, they have financial.
They're happening in their life.
Yeah, so no one knows this, but you know, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا," right? وسبح بحمد ربك. And we're keeping sight of all of this, subhanallah. And now Allah is saying, glorify me in these difficult times. Why, Mufti Saab? You know this, we all know this, because there is nothing that brings ease and peace, tranquility, harmony, contentment more than the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guess what, Mufti Saab? I know you're going to translate this, but where is this? You said this earlier. Where is this, you know, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the Prophet said, Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. All these other places we talked about, it's in the middle of the Quran or the end of a surah, right? Middle of a surah. This is that one place in the Quran where Allah is ordering someone in the Prophet and us to praise and glorify His beauty, His perfection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us this, and the Prophet has demonstrated it in what position in salah?
In sajda.
In sajda. The best, okay, the greatest position, the greatest worship is salah. Greatest ibadah, the first thing to be obligated upon this ummah. One of the last things that Prophet ﷺ said before he left this world, as-salah wa ma malakat ayman. Right, Mufti Saab? And in that salah, the greatest position is when you're prostrating to God. When the top of your head, the tip of your head, you know, people don't know this, right? I don't know if the Desis know this, but like in the Arab world, it was unheard of that someone will put their head on the ground. They won't do it for anybody. Like, I don't know who you are. Imagine now they're being told, not just arrogant community in that time, Mecca. They never lower their head for anyone. No power, no might, no force. They were just so arrogant. They would take an arrow on their chest before they could lower themselves like that. But this Quran came, the Prophet Deen came and Nur came into their heart. They're taking this head. They're not lowering it on carpet. We're used to doing it on a nice carpet, you know, furnished masjid and nice place. They're doing it on the desert. They're doing it on dirt. And when the dirt that we're made from, which is, you know, khalaqakum min turab, the dirt that we are made from, meets the dirt on the ground and prays to the master of the heavens, solves all the problems. Just solves it. Absolutely. The best place on the earth in your life is a place you do sajda. Where your Prophet ﷺ said, "Ida sajda ahadukum." I'm gonna say this very clear. I'm not gonna make this up myself. "Ida sajda ahadukum, fa innama sajda ala qadam al-Rahman." When any one of you prostrate in front of Allah, this is so beautiful, and I think this you should definitely type wah 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 after hearing this one. This is hadith of Rasulullah. إِذَا سَجَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ When you do sajda, فَإِنَّمَا سَجَدَ عَلَىٰ قَدْمِ الرَّحْمَنِ You are putting your head at the feet of Rahman. Meaning you're that close. I mean, not literally God's feet, but you're that close to Allah. Who doesn't want to be close to Allah? And at that proximity, with that nearness, Allah said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to praise سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْعَلَىٰ.
So yes, declare my perfection, you know.
Declare. Mufti Saab, I'm going to say one more thing. You know, that Fir'aun who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Fir'aun used to say, I'm the mighty king. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was ready to forgive him also if he repented. Correct? Imagine us when we say subhanahu rabbi al-A'la when we're on the ground. And look at the wisdom of this. When we're down, when our highest position of our body, which is our head, our forehead, is in the lowest position, our back is above us now. Like literally, we're in that position where, you know, scholars talk about qiyam, Mufti Saab. Qiyam is Islam. When your mind is above your heart. When your mind, so you Islam is when you try to analyze, critique everything. You're not fully comfortable with all the integrals and rituals of Islam. You question, like, mom, dad, is it sunnah? Is it really farad? Maybe it's cultural rituals. Prophet did it, but not now. So you have Islam, which is qiyam, the standing position. Ruku', when you're bowing, is iman. When your head and your heart are aligned, where things make sense to you, and when they do make sense to you, you accept it. Sajda is ihsan, is excellence. There are three states that everyone has to go through. The Prophet says, mal Islam wa mal iman wa ma ihsan. Iman wa mal ihsan. Iman, ihsan is when your heart is above your head. And you're saying to Allah, I put my head down and I'm ready. In the Prophet Mufti Sahab, there are nights where the Prophet just stayed in that position.
Yeah.
Nights saying Subhanahu Rabbil A'la, praising Allah. So I just want to let you know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ready to forgive someone like Pharaoh and who called himself the mighty king, will he not forgive someone who is actually calling Allah the mighty king while their head is on the ground, the best position on the earth?
But John, you hit the nail on the head, right?
On the head, yeah, on the head.
Quite literally. So, you know, and I'll conclude by saying this. This theme will repeat itself in the next few surahs that were revealed early in the stages of Makkah. Because this is what a person goes through. This is a challenge that a person goes through. And a lot of times when a person is going through these stages, sometimes he or she can get stuck at a certain place when they start facing difficulties and start questioning what's going on. So Allah continuously tells us to declare the perfection of your Lord. This is the best way to bring, you know, I'll say this, a person in life always wants to be in control. You know, this control factor, like, you know, who's controlling the decisions, who's controlling things in the house, and who, we have this control syndrome that people love to have. And another thing about that is, when you control something, you feel like you're more safe. When you're not in control, you feel unsafe. This is the reality.
So that's for what example, people have this phobia of flying
because they're exactly. Not in control. Yeah. So for example, like driving, I am a reckless driver and I do drive fast. You know, people that know me know that.
That's not good for yourself. That's
I
not
enjoy
good.
Enjoy driving, like, you know, doing this.
What do you like in doing? Woo, 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 woo. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I mean, we grew up doing it, so I enjoy it.
No, and you shouldn't. I'm gonna be honest with you, as an older brother.
I don't. I stop with them.
Can I tell everybody that you used to live on the same street where the police station was?
Yeah.
And on the same street where the police station is. And I think Warren has probably the biggest police station in America, in Michigan.
And not America.
In Michigan, of course. I'm not New York, NYPD, LAPD is much better, bigger in that sense. So you have this police station as your neighbor, and you still opt to drive higher than the speed limit.
I'm not driving higher than the speed limit. I'm just drifting. So it's like, they can't pull me over for speeding, you know?
But they don't can do that, Mustafa.
Yeah, so when you're driving, like, you know, when I'm driving, like, you know, a BMW that has good handling, you know, going around a ramp off the highway, driving at high speed, like, I feel, since I'm holding the steering wheel and my left foot's on the clutch and I'm downshifting, my right foot's on the accelerator, like, I feel like I'm in control. Because of that, I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone else is driving and mm-hmm. I'm in the passenger seat,
I see.
They may not be driving at that speed. Even then, I don't have a phobia of driving fast or anything, but I see this in myself all the time. Someone else drives, even my wife.
Me. You when you sit with me,
I feel unsafe, even though you're driving.
You don't feel safe in my minivan.
Exactly.
And you feel more safe driving your sports car like a maniac.
This is a nature, Bajan. This is a nature.
Good example. That was a very profound point, Mufti Sahib.
Let me say something about this. The opposite is true with Allah. You have to feel safe because Allah is in control.
Allahu Akbar.
You're not in control of anything.
See, I had no idea where you were going with all these car examples. I got lost in the whole drifting. That's so beautiful.
You have to feel safe. Safety is in this conviction of yours that Allah is in control.
Allahu Akbar.
And if you don't have this conviction that the Rabbika al-A'la, Subbih isma Rabbika al-A'la, glorify your Lord that is most high. You know,
he's not just better than you, he's the greatest.
He's Rabb is the Rabb, the word Rabb. This is the heart of the relationship with us and Allah. He's the authority. It's not Ghafoor, this is Khaliq. These are names of Allah, these are qualities of Allah. But the heart of our relationship, the pinnacle of our relationship between us, the servant, and Allah is the word Rabb. He's in control. He's the authority. He's the master, right? And we have to accept that fact. We have to acknowledge that I'm not in control of anything.
Oh my God. You'd be so comfortable then.
then you become comfortable. Then you're comfortable, right? And then you're like, and this world is completely different. Once you understand the Prophet, this is an initial stage in Mecca.
I gotta say something to you. What is the prayer that we read when we sit in a car, on an airplane, on a transportation? Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. We declare that I don't got control over anything. Allah is controlling this ride. For them it was camels, for you is your BMW. For me is my minivan. You know?
You can't pronounce a V.
No, it's minivan, you know? When you're driving a minivan for like 6-7 years straight, you just, the V should just leave the leaves.
You know, like Iqbal says, guilted
hold on. I was just about to tell you this, that I haven't heard it in Iqbal from you for a while. It's either...
No, but I'm going to forget it.
Okay, sorry.
He says, girte rahe hum sajdon mein, apni hasraton ke khatir. Girte rahe sajdon mein, apni hi hasraton ke khatir. Ishq khuda mein gire hote, toh koi hasrat baki na rehti.
Wah, 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 wah.
He said, look, man, you keep on falling in sajda thinking that, you know, you can, like, for yourself, like, you're controlling this, you have to do this, you have to do that, so you're asking. But if you just fell in sajda and gave all the control to Allah and said, oh Allah, I'm nothing. Ana faqir, I'm completely dependent, right? Wa ana ala ahdika, I'm completely at your mercy. You're the controller of everything. And this, you know, when they say, ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, what does that actually mean? You know, yes, you know, one interesting thing about this verse is all the other verses, you know, that of most of the other verses of sabbih isma, you know, sabbih, they come with ba. فَسَبِّحْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. You know, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ وَالْفَتْحُ وَالْتَنَسَّلُ خُنُفْتِ الْفَجْرِ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. B. So glorify your Lord with this. Glorify your Lord, or declare the mercy of your Lord, perfection of your Lord with this. With this. Over here, there's no ba mentioned. Because clearly that means that over here, the words are not what's being, of course the words mean something, but the intended, the primary intended purpose is not the words, but the thought.
Wow.
It's not the words, it's the thought, the acknowledgement, the sentiment. You know, I'm not in control of everything. There's safety in that. There's contentment in that. There's peace in that feeling. And Allah is telling the Sahaba at Mecca, look, whatever is happening, look, when the Prophet saw Ammar bin Yasir, look, he could have made dua. Any dua he made was accepted. But Allah was teaching the Ummah a lesson through this. صَبْرًا يَا آلَ يَاسِرٍ فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدَكُمَ الْجَنَّةِ. Look, I can't control helping you right now, but I can tell you something. Be patient, because at the end of the day, the promised land, the promised time is Jannah, and you will surely get it. Mm. So, you know, if we can just understand this concept, that this whole universe belongs to Allah, and Allah is the ultimate planner, Allah is the ultimate controller. Our difficulties, our challenges will start to become a means of happiness and harmony for us. It's the attitude that Allah is talking about over here. The attitude of a believer, the mindset of a believer. Two people could be faced with the same circumstance, difficulty, or same situation, but the attitude makes the person different. How are you receiving this? How are you reacting to this? Allah is saying, if you want to know the easiest way to cope with this, just declare the perfection of your Lord over and over and over again. Live with this mindset. Acknowledge that you're not in control over anything. That whatever you have is, you're a servant of Allah. And this has been gifted to you by Allah. The next ayah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى.
Yeah, can you translate a few of the verses and explain
them? We're only going to do a few verses. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى, the one who created and he made upright. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, the one who planned and then guided. Right? That Allah is saying that whatever we have is literally the difference. You know, when we talk about glorifying your Lord, right? What else? When Allama Razi, he says something really, I'm not using the word of blowing your mind, but he says something so
profound.
Amazing. He says,
profound.
So amazing. He says, listen, there are certain things, when you say them, you can even say that same word for a human being. You can say that for Allah as well. For example, you can call a human being alim.
Scholar.
Alim, a scholar, but Alim is also Allah's name. It's an attribute of Allah. You can call a human being seeing. He is a person who can see.
Basir.
You can call a human being Basir because he can see. He has basar.
Or like Kareem.
You can call someone Kareem. What's the difference? Understand the difference. Then he states three differences. The first, the quality of Allah has no beginning and it has no end. Yours does. There was a beginning and there's going to be an end. And Allah mentions this later in Sabbih Hasbun Rabbika al-A'la, فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. That Allah afterwards something, الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى, the one who extracted from this green pasture, this beautiful green land, he made everything so perfect. This child was born, has all these faculties, but then it goes towards adults, you know, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِسُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. As you grow older, you start losing your faculties, decreasing one after the other. And now it becomes like that fruit that's dried and black and dark, that this has no, it doesn't benefit you anymore, right? So that's فَجَعَلُوا غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. It becomes useless, right? So same thing, our faculties, everything we have is just a beginning and an end. There was a time, Bajan, when we were not called scholars. We were jahil. But now and there's going to be a time when we die, we're not going to be called, whatever faculties or attributes we had will be done. The second thing is that our faculties, that when we're attributed to these things, they have a limit. I could hear you talk, but I can't hear what's happening behind the wall. I could see you, but I can't see what's happening behind the wall. And there's no limit to Allah's attributes.
SubhanAllah.
And the third, which is the most profound, is that whatever you have is not yours. It was gifted to you.
Wow.
Whatever Allah has, it's His. So you are not entitled to anything. Anything that you have, it was a gift from Allah to you. If you understand that, acknowledge that, when you bury your loved one, you're saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Khalas, we belong to Allah. This was a gift that we had for a little while. Allah took it from us. So you understand that concept. Then life becomes much easier. You think about a man like the Prophet ﷺ. Like, you know, you hear the story of this child whose brother has a hole in his heart. You see him every day. You know, you can't even, it's hard to even see him. Every time you see him, you want to hug him. But imagine the Prophet ﷺ, what he was seeing the Sahaba going through their difficulties. The Sahaba were seeing the Prophet ﷺ going through difficulties. But then what comforted them, what brought them harmony and joy was that, you know what, we're not in control over anything. Everything belongs to Allah. He's controlling all of this. Let's just take it easy. Let's do what we can do. Allahumma hadha al-juhd wa alayka tuklan. The Prophet's masnoon dua, his prophetic dua. Allahumma hadha al-juhd wa alayka tuklan. Oh Allah, this is my effort and results are in your hands. I don't control results. It's not in my hands. So then why are you stressing over it? Wa hadha dua wa alayka al-ijaba. And this is my call to you and acceptance is in your hands. So acknowledging those places where you're not in control literally is the definition of the first few verses of Sabbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la. And if Allah can give us this the true mindset of this and can make us understand the true meaning of these verses, life and our attitude can just be different. And this is what the Sahaba were taught early on, and this theme will repeat in Surah Al-Duha. When we talk about it, we'll elaborate that on that. We will elaborate on that even more. But Jen, let's conclude and say salam to everybody.
Jazakallah khair, Mufti Sahab. Very profound message, very deep. And of course, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand and appreciate this message of the Quran, and let us believe and acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control, in the driver's seat, you know, and he's the captain of your ship, he's the captain of your flight, he's the captain of your life, and he knows what's best for you. Qaddara fahada. He calculates everything with precision. Right? Qaddar is to, you know, measure everything, and you know the concept that inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu biqadar. Allah says we created everything.
Qadarna fa ni'mal qadirun.
Oh, fa qadarna fa ni'mal qadirun. Even another ayah that you just put. Thank you, Mufti Sahab. You know, it created everything with precision, like, you know, in designing and engineering. It's not about the inches, right, or the centimeters, but millimeter, like something very, very minute that you might not even notice. If that goes wrong in the architect design, the building is not good. Something's going to be wrong. Something's not going to make sense. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a perfectionist just in one aspect, but every single thing. Like you said, he just made it right, you know? So we have to somehow put our, Mufti Sahib has been saying this, inshallah, may Allah give us a tawfiq to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say subhanallah all the time, every day, after salah, subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. You do this. مُعَقِّبَاتٌ لَا يَخِيبُ قَائِلُهُنَّ أَوْ فَاعِلُهُنَّ. The Prophet ﷺ said there are certain things that you do in the end. They're the practices of the ending. Like, these are things that are muqtibat. You're supposed to do them in the end.
They come after the deed.
They're after the deed.
The closer. They, in baseball, they're the closer.
Okay, the closer, the clutch shooter, the clutch actions. You know, however you Mufti Sahib giving the closer. I like that. You're watching baseball nowadays. It was throwing those curved balls at me. But thing is, you do them as a closer into your actions. If you do them, you will never be disappointed. You will never be depressed. You won't have a miserable day. And then what are they? He says, Subhanallah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 34. You do this after prayer, and then you do the same thing I'm telling you before sleeping. This is what the Prophet told Fatima radiallahu anha, Tasbih Fatima, Subhanallah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 34. It doesn't solve your problem of your night only, but the next day you'll have a perfect day. You know, people are like, oh, I have a busy day. You got a busy day? This is what you should do. You have an interview, you have tasks.
They'll give you strength, they'll give you energy.
That's what Fatima radiallahu was complaining. Like, I don't find the strength the next day. I get so tired, I get exhausted, so much things going on. Prophet ﷺ said, read this, figure it out. So this is why it's called Tasbih Fatima. So Subhanallah should be read all the time. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Tamla'an, Tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. Just saying Subhanallah once, Alhamdulillah. Today everybody's trying, like Mufti Sahib is in this lighting, you know, making sure the camera lighting is well, my lighting is good. You know, that's just for, you know, for videography. Imagine a person says Subhanallah, the entire world is illuminated all the way to the skies. تَمْلَوْ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The entire room is full of light. Now when that light is given to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you opportunity. You can do much more when you have light compared to when it's dark. You can't walk. You can't see correctly. You don't know what's harmful. But imagine now God is opening up this light in front of you. Well, everybody has vision, 2020, but there's another vision that God has opened up for you, and that vision will guide you to paradise. And that's in the heart. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبَصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبَ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's not about the vision 2020. It's about the heart having the right vision. So again, Mufti Sahib, جزاكم الله خير for such a beautiful reminder of Surah Hisma Rabbik al-A'la. And inshallah, we will continue with our behind the scenes reminder. Thank you everyone for joining.
I just added this dua just because, is that your phone, Bajan?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. I think people assume that 10 o'clock I will be done.
So yeah, this dua I just added there. This is a dua that the Prophet ﷺ, Ibn Abbas narrates that the Prophet ﷺ came to Juwayriyah and after he performed Fajr Salah, and she was praying Salah and sitting and doing dhikr of Allah, and then he came after midday and she was still in that same position, and then the Prophet ﷺ asked, "Were you sitting in the same position from morning till midday?"
He said to her, "Ma zilti ala al-hal alladhi faraqtuki."
التي فارقتك عليها. نعم. Yeah. He said that you stayed in this condition from the morning till now. She was shocked. So that's a long morning. You're just sitting there the whole time doing dhikr. And she said, نعم يا رسول الله. The Prophet said that after I left, لقد قلت بعدك أربع كلمات ثلاث مرات. That he said, after I left you, I said four sentences, three times. If it was weighed with every single thing that you did from morning till now, the reward of what I had said would outweigh the reward of what you have done throughout the morning. And then he said, what was it? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adda khalqihi, wa idha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimatihi.
So you have to translate it.
It just subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah, Allah declaring the perfection of Allah, wa bihamdihi, in praising Allah, adda khalqihi, and the amount of his creation, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa idha nafsihi, in a manner in which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa zinata arshihi, and the how much and the weight of the arsh of Allah.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah, وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِهِ and the all the kalimat of Allah, the weight of the ink that writes the kalimat, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I put this dua in the chat. That's what I was just doing. So take care of, just try to recite this dua over and over again, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for everyone who's joining us, but then bid them farewell.
Thank you very much. Inshallah, we'll see you. Mufti Saab has Family Matters tomorrow at 9.
I'm sorry, I didn't do it last week. We had some technical difficulties, but we'll do it tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah, people are excited to hear you and they're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. And, you know, I love the Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu story with his mom. Thank you so much. Yeah. And then Friday, we have Friday Night Live. We have a special guest speaker that will be joining us Friday Night Live. We always have our Saturday classes. Please make sure to follow us. Subscribe to our channels. If you're joining us, please share on Facebook, YouTube, wherever you are. Please share our content. Just all you have to do is press share and like. I mean, it's not a lot of work. Mufti Saab is doing all the work.
Stop asking them to do things for us, Bajan. They're listening. They're good. It's good enough. They're benefiting, mashallah.
Okay, Mufti Saab is right. Just pray for us.
We're coming there soon, inshallah. We're coming to UK soon, inshallah. Bajan, just make dua for us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone.